Today, Shir Masechta Pesachim, Daf Lamed Aleph. We will begin on Daf Lamed Amid Beis at the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Amid. The Mishnah teaches us Nachri Shehilva Es Yisrael Chameitzai. If a Nachri lent money to Yisrael and the Yisrael's Chametz was put up as a mortgage, as collateral for that Halvah. Acha Pesach, after Pesach, mutbano, because since the Jew put up his chametz to the Nachri as collateral, the chametz is considered as if it was in the Rishus of the Nachri. And since it was considered in the Rishus of the Nachri, there is no problem of chametz she'avala Pesach. Of course, this is only if the chametz ends up staying with the Nachri. But if the Yisrael pays up his debt to the Nachri with cash or whatever other method, and then the Nachri gives back the chametz to the Yisrael, then of course that chametz will have been considered chametz of a Jew and will not be permissible. We're only referring to a situation that the Nachri at the end keeps that chametz, because it's considered chametz shel Nachri. Yisrael shehilva es Nachri al chametzai. But what about the other way around? If Yisrael lent money to a Nachri, and the Nachri left his chametz with the Jew as a collateral, acha Pesach, then after Pesach, the halach is os b'hano. That chametz is considered chametz that belong to a Jew. And since it's considered chametz that belong to the Jew during Yontif, the halach is that chametz is osa b'hano, as we just learned in the last couple of shurim about the locha of chametz shavala of Pesach. Itmar begins the Gemara b'chayv. When we have money lent to someone else, and there is a mortgage, a collateral put up, and they said that if you won't pay up by the time that you're supposed to pay up, you could take that collateral. So from what point is it considered that the person who's now taking back the collateral is the owner of the collateral? Abai Amla Freyu Goiva. Abai's opinion is that it becomes the malvas from the time that the loan took place. Rav Amma, and Rav's opinion is Mekana Labo Goiva. It only becomes the malvas at the point where the loiva defaults on the loan. And since he defaults on the loan, that's why it becomes the malvus property. So the Rishonim ask, we know the halacha is that the loiva's karka, the loiva's real estate, always becomes obligated, mishubed, to the loan. There's a halacha of shibud karkos. So if that's the, and we're learning now that happens automatically, but that's only by karka. Here we're talking about chametz. So how do we understand this Gemara, which is talking about chametz, where halacha of shibud karka is a halacha only on karka? So the Rishonim respond that our Gemara is speaking about a case where he explicitly made the shibud. And since he explicitly made the shibud, so even though usually we speak about karka, real estate being meshubed, here even chametz will be meshubed. Says the Gemara, to help understand the machlokes. Kalecha da'agdish loiva, if the loiva was magdish these nechasim on which there is a mortgage, or zavanat loiva, or the loiva sold these properties on which there is a shibud, kulam aloi pligi, everybody will agree that what he did is really not effective. And therefore, dasa malva, the malva could come afterwards and collect these assets. Asa malva v'tarif, asa malva parik. Or the malva could come and be paid to them from Hegdish. And as the Gemara explains in Masechta Erechim, actually, the malva really doesn't have to pay Hegdish anything. Why does the Mavel not have to pay Hegdish anything? Because as we're learning now, there's a Shibud on these properties. And since there's a Shibud on the property, the Loiva had no right to sell it. The Roiva had no right to be magdish it. He was selling or being magdish something he really doesn't own. However, Chazal were concerned that people will think that you could take something from Hegdish without being paid it, without redeeming it. You could just take it away from Hegdish. So in order that people should not make the mistake and people make the error think that you could take something from Hegdish without even having to pay anything, the halach is you should be paid it, but just with a token nominal payment. The Tanan, as the Mishnah Masechta Erchin teaches us, Daf Chav Gimel, Maisef HaMava Oidiner, that if the Malva wants to take what was Meshubah to him, what was mortgaged to him from Hegdish, that the Loiva had no right to be Magdishit, he should give a dinner or pay them as Nechasim Elu and take back these properties that are really his. So Rashi explains that according to Baya, it's very understandable. Because as Baya just taught us, L'mafreyu hu goyva, so it becomes the Malva's from when the loan transaction took place. And therefore, since it became the Malva's from that moment, he had no right to be magdishit, he had no right to sell it. But explained Rashi, even if we follow the opinion of Rava, that it doesn't become the Malva's until the Loiva doesn't pay the loan, still, the fact that there was a shibud on these nechasim, the fact that there was a mortgage on these nechasim, the halacha prevents him from making it for being magdish or selling it. And I saw a beautiful explanation. The Torah, when it explains, when it teaches us the halacha that somebody can be magdish something, says ish ki yagdish es beisoy. So we learn from there ma beisoy b'rishusoy. The only thing you have a right to be magdish, something which is totally under your control. This is not totally under your control, and therefore you have no right to be magdishit. Taisus Masech the Gittin has somewhat a different approach to this Gemara. Taisus Masech the Gittin says that actually the hegdish will be a valid hegdish. But it's the way I understand Taisus, it's sort of a provisional hegdish. It will only be a hegdish unless the mortgage kicks in. And when the mortgage kicks in and makes that I the malva have right to take it, the hegdish expires. So here we're learning that even if the loiva was magdish property, the halacha is that the malva could take it away from hegdish. So Rashi asks, there's a famous Gemara, a famous statement from Rava, Emsechta Ksubistaf Nun Tesam Abeis, Hegdish Chametz V'Shichur Mafkiyim Medei Shibud. That if you're magdish something, even if there's a mortgage on it, Hegdish has the ability to undo that Shibud. So how could our Gemara say that if the loiva was magdish it, the Hegdish is not Chal? So Rashi answers that this thing that Hegdish has the ability to stronger than the Shibud is only when there's a Kedushas Aguf. There are two types of Hegdish. There's something called Kedushas Aguf, where the actual object that I'm being Magdish is going to be used on the Mizbeach, an animal that's going to use the Mizbeach. And then there's the other type of Hegdish where the value goes to Hegdish. This halacha that Rav says, Hegdish is Mafkim De Shibud, is only by Kedushas Aguf. Here, we're talking about Kedushas Tomim, and Kedushas Tomim, Hegdish does not undo that Shibud. Another explanation is that since it only has a Kedushas Aguf, Kedushas Domim, so just like a Malva has a right to go to a Loiva and say, I'm collecting the collateral you owe me, so too do you have a right that Shibud continues to go to the Hegdish, who now takes over the place of the loiva. Another interesting approach to this question is the approach that the Meiri takes. The Meiri says that indeed Rava says that Hegdish has the ability to undo a Shibud. The Meiri says that when does Hegdish have that? Only in a case, let's say I'm a loiva. So I put up my assets for a collateral, for a loan. And then that asset, I was I was magdish. So says Rava, according to Miri, that hegdish is fine if I have other assets from which the malva could collect the loan. But if there's going to be a situation where there are no other assets that the malva could collect from, so my hegdish in the first place was never a real hegdish. Because the hegdish that's mafkim de shibud is not mafkim de shibud, where this is the only place where the malva could go to collect his loan, and that's the case of our Gemara. Says the Gemara, so where do we have the machloikus of Abai and Rava? Ki pligi, the zovin ha-malva, when the malva was magdish, sold something, the kodesh ha-malva, and it was magdish something before this man a payment came. And then the time came. Abai Amar, Abai says, even though when he was magdish it, when he sold it, it wasn't yet actively belonging to the person who he was magdish to the malva, because the time for payment has not come. But since, says Abaya, my opinion is, l'mafrei hu goiva, that the malva takes ownership from the time of the loan, the kim de matas man of leperi, now when the time comes and the loiva doesn't pay, igloi muslim afrei de mikar b'shus avikoi, so now we see that was always belonged to the malva, and therefore, v'shapa agdish, v'shapa zovin, the malva have any right to be magdish and sell it, because he was selling his own property. Rava, whoever says that it doesn't become the malvas until the time for payment comes, says Makarul Abogova, Kimvin the Avale Zuze, since if the loiva had the ability to pay him with money, with cash, Hamasalkle Bezuze, he would pay him off with cash. So, and then this property would have never become the malvas. And since it would have therefore never become the malvas, the malva, it's not the malvas, so the malva has no right to be magdashit, the malva has no right to sell it, and therefore shkachadash the kakani, and he had no right to be magdishit, the hegdish that he was magdishit at that point or sold at that point is not a valid sale. It's not a valid sale and not a valid hegdish. But on the loiva, and we explain, everybody agrees his hegdish or selling is not valid. Ask the Gemara, Miyam Rav Hachi, can we indeed suggest that Rav's opinion is that it only becomes the malvas from the time when he takes it, from when the time when the debt is due? Ask the Gemara. Rami Bachama discusses the following situation. Reuven Shemacha sold to Shimon Bachrayis. Reuven sold a field to Shimon Bachrayis. What that means is that where the Chrayis says is that if Reuven sells a property to Shimon, and now Reuven has somebody who this field was mortgaged to, and the person to whom this field was mortgaged indeed takes that field from Shimon because he has a lien on the field. Shimon has a right to go back to Reuven. You sold this to me. You're now responsible to pay me back for what I paid you. But on the other hand, in this story, Zokon Lomba Milva, Shimon didn't pay cash to Reuven for the field. He gave him a note. He says, I owe you the money that I owe you. And now, Meis Reuven passed away. So the mortgage that was on this field, the prior mortgage that was on this field when Shimon bought it, the person wants to act on that mortgage, wants to foreclose on that mortgage and take that field from Shimon. So Shimon says to him as follows. So Shimon wants to hold on to the field. He does recognize that this person has a mortgage on the field. So he says to him, I'll pay you a certain amount. They come up with an amount that they both agree to. And like that, you'll walk away from your lien. Also, Shimon or Paisa Bezuze. Shimon goes and pays off Reuven's debt with whatever terms he comes to. And now, Dinahu, Dosmne Reuven, the Reuven's Yosoimim, Reuven's Yarshim, come to tell Shimon, Anan mitatli shavach avun gabach. You owe us money for the field. Umitatli yasmi lem gavdi mishabdi. You owe us money. And the money, and the only property that could be taken as a mortgage is real property, is real estate. So in other words, what happened here is the only obligation and a property that's owed is from real estate. And they say, we don't have real estate to pay you for what you paid off our father's debt, but you owe us money. And therefore, you have to pay us what you owe our father, but we don't have to pay you back for the cash that you had laid out to pay off our father's debt. Amarava. So now Shimon is a bind. He used money to be able to hold on to his property, assuming that like that helps be able to say to Reuven's children, I owe you nothing because I paid off your father's debt. But they're saying one has nothing to do with the other. Says the Gemara, Ipikeach Shimon, if Shimon is a wise man, what he should do is like this. Magvile Ara, he should tell the children of Reuven that he doesn't have any cash available to pay off his debt. He only has real estate. And then he'll say, okay, so I owe your father money. I don't have cash to pay off that debt. Here's the karka. And now, after the Bnei Reuven have this karka that Shimon gave them, then he takes it back. Because although, as we said a moment ago, the children of Reuven, their cash inheritance is not meshubet to Shimon, property that they have is meshubet to Shimon. And now they have karka. Gomer of Nachman, Yisoyim Shigovu Charka Bechoyvus Aviyim, Yisoyim that take hold of property because of money that was owed to their father, Balchoyv, any debt that their father, so they only collected that property post the father's death, still that property, Balchoyv, Choyz V'Goyvay Samahen, any Balchoyv, any money, anybody that Reuven, their father, owed to somebody, so even though they don't have to pay the cash, they do have to pay away with this Karka. So what do we see? That the karka that they collected, which was only collected after the father's death, the halacha looks at it as if it was already in the father's possession before he died. So the Gemara makes its point. If we say that the way we look, that when somebody collects something, it's as if he collected it from the time when the debt was made, that's why we could understand why that could be used as to be collected for any debts that the father owned. Because the halacha looks at it, the command the government, the halacha views it as if it was already in the father's possession while he was alive. Eli Amrit, if we're going to suggest the mekanul habo goyva, that it only becomes theirs when they actually collect it, it only becomes the property of the Yorshim of Reuven when they actually collected. So now the question is, why should this property which they collected post their father's debt be property from which the father's debtors could collect? What would happen if Yisoyimim inherited money from their father? And then with the money that they inherited from their father, they bought property. Would anybody suggest that property that they bought is meshubed, is mortgaged to all of their father's debtors? Of course not. If the Yisoyimim bought property with the money that they inherited from the father, of course not. So the only way of being able to understand this Gemara is to say that the property that they collected and for the money that was owed to their father is money, is considered as if the father already had it from when he was alive. Why? Because we say l'mafreihu goiva. So that is fine with Abaya, who has said from the beginning of today's shir, the balchoy l'mafreihu goiva. But Rava, who from the beginning of our shir today said, the balchoy mikanul habo goiva. So if we're going to say balchoy mikan, how could Rava say this halacha? Answers the Gemara, that situation is completely different. Shani Hasam, Damlahu, Shimon says to the Bnei Reuven, just as I mortgaged my property to your father, I immediately became a balchoiv to your father's debtor as well. So it's not that when I paid off the debt of your father, it was because I did something I shouldn't have done. If I owed money to your father, and your father owed money to, if your father owed money to me, and I owed money to somebody else, then it's as if I owed that money directly to that person. In other words, what he's saying is the land wasn't, we're agreeing with Rava, that the land was not in the father's possession when he was alive, but it was mortgaged to him while he was alive. And the Gemara is saying that a property that is mortgaged to a person becomes mortgaged to that person's creditors as well. So when the orphans collected land from a creditor who owed money to their father, that land was not only mortgaged to the father, but it was mortgaged to the father's creditor while he was alive. So now the father's creditor could collect the land from him. So now understanding our Gemara, Shimon's land, which is mortgaged to Reuven, is also mortgaged himself because he's a potential creditor of Reuven. So therefore, Shimon could say to the children, just as my land is mortgaged to you for whatever the purchase price of the field is, it's also mortgaged to me for that guarantee that Reuven sold the property to me, as we started with the case that we learned with Achrayus. And therefore, the halach is that I have a right to collect that field, not because of Bal Chayiv Milafreyu Hu Goyva. And of course, Rebbeinu David points out that we don't have to, and that's part of what we're going to learn as we get deeper into the Gemara, we don't have to go through the whole charade of Shimon giving the property to Reuven's children and then collecting it back. Because of the Shibud de Reb Nosson that we're going to learn, we could skip all these steps. Why is this a legitimate halachic approach? Because what Reb Nosson taught us, the Tanya Reb Nosson Omer, if I owe you $100, I owe you $100 and you owe somebody else $100, that person can come directly to me. The Torah doesn't say that you should pay back from whom you borrowed. The Torah goes out of the way to say the person that you owed. Who is that person that you owed? The person that if I owed money to somebody else and you owed money to me, you pay that person directly. And that's what's happening in our Gemara as well. We have here the Shibuda de Reb Nosson. So the question that Tosfos Masechet Ksubos asks, the halacha is that one has cash, he can't get paid with karka. You only have a right to pay off your obligations with karka when there is no cash. So here, why is Shimon saying, well, I have a shibud on the karka? It's not true. Reuven would have had to pay him cash. So the Rishonim answer that is the chiddush of the shibud of Reb Nosson. The chiddush of the shibud of Reb Nosson makes it's as if I don't have cash and that there's only karka that I could collect from. Or another way of explaining it, we're going to take that approach, I'll never get paid. Since we're going to take that approach, I'm never going to get paid, it's considered as if I don't have karka at all. Says the Gemara. Begins the Gemara, another question. But before we go further, in understanding, what's the chiddush of Reb Nosson? Of course, if I owe you money, and you owe somebody else money, we cut out the middleman. What's the chiddush here? So the Tzais explains that the halacha of Shibud Reb Nosson accomplishes, it's not that a matter of convenience. It becomes as if you and I are direct loiva and mava, directly from each other, not just a matter of convenience. And what it will accomplish is exactly what happens in our Gemara, that's why the Yisoimim will have to pay back Shimon, which under other circumstances, they maybe wouldn't have had to. Another explanation that the Ritva suggests, that normally a shibud, a mortgage, only happens with a kinyan. You can't obligate, if you're going to take on any obligation, the obligation has to be done with the proper halachic transaction. Shibud de Reb Nosson teaches us that we don't have to go through all of that. It happens automatically. Tanan, the Mishnah taught us, we started today's shir, the Nachla Shehevus Yisrael Achemtzoi, if a Nachri lent money, and the Yisrael put up the chametz as a mortgage. Acha Pesach, so and he gave the guy the chametz as a mortgage. That chametz is not considered chametz shel Avah Pesach. The halacha is acha Pesach muta b'ano. The chametz is muta b'ano. Ask the Gemara. Yeah, b'shlobel mafreyu goyva. And we follow the opinion of Abaya that it becomes the malvas from when he got the for when he got the collateral. We could understand why this chametz is not considered chametz shovel of a Pesach. However, ask the Gemara. If we're going to follow the opinion of Roiva, it's not considered the malvas until the due date came. And if the due date wasn't there yet and paid, b'shus the Yisrael of a koi. Answers the Gemara, we're talking about a case, Shehino Etzloi. Since the person left the Mashkin by the Loiva, so Rav is teaching now a Chiddush. That even though Rav's opinion is that Mikanu Lebohu Goiva, Rav will agree when the Mashkin, when it wasn't just a Shibud, but when the Mashkin was actually left by the Malva, that's Rav will agree that it's considered that it's his from the when it was put by him. So ask the Gemara Lem Katanoi, should we say that this machlokes that we have a Abaye and Rava, do we say Lemafreyu Goiva, Mekano Labohu Goiva, is actually a subject of a machlokes Tanoim? Because the Brisa says, Yisrael Shevel Nochri Al Chemtzoi. Yisrael lent money to Akum Al Chemtzoi. And he made, that's the collateral, that if he won't pay up, he could collect the chametz. Lacha Pesach Eina Oiver. After Pesach, he won't be over. There's no issa chametz shel Avah Pesach on this chametz. Shemeya Amar Amru, my laugh. So why does the machlokes Tanakam Rameya? I'll say b'hokem ofki. The mass of lemafreyu goyver, and therefore it's considered that the chametz was the Jews from when it was put up as collateral to him. Umar sava mekano lo goyver, and therefore wasn't considered the Jews. Says the Gemara of Tisbara. Is that the way to understand that machlokes? Ema Sefer. Let's continue learning that Braisa. The Braisa speaks there about Nochri Shevel Yisrael Al Chemtzoi Lacha Be'isach Divra Kol Oiver. After Pesach, everybody agrees that there's a problem with Chametz Shevel Pesach. Says the Gemara, if we want to be consistent, we should say the Tana Kama, who said at the first case of the Braisa ain't over. Because the Tanakhama said it only becomes the Yisrael's after Pesach, and until then it belonged to the Nochri. Hocha, he'll have to say just the opposite. Oiver, because it now becomes the Nochri's only after Pesach, and therefore it belonged to the Jew over Pesach, and therefore it's Chametz Shavuot Pesach. And on the other hand, Leman Daham Hasam, according to a mayor who said you're Oiver, and therefore he said from when the Yisrael lent the money and got the chametz as a mortgage, it's considered the Yisrael's. I should say vice versa. Here where the Akum lent the money and the Akum got the chametz as a collateral, therefore it's considered the Akum's from that moment, and therefore if Pesach passes with the Akum having this collateral, it should not be considered chametz over Pesach and ain't over. Yet we find that in the second case where the Akum lent money to the Jew and got chametz as a collateral from the Jew, the halach is that he's not that it's chametz shavuot of a Pesach. Elo, says the Gemara, both the Tanakam and Rameya have to hold mikano abohu goyva. And it only becomes the akums at the point where the debt that the Jew owes him is not paid, and he takes ownership of the collateral. But that was only after Pesach. And that means during Pesach, it belonged to the Yisrael. But here we're talking about, as we spoke about before, Hachmai Skinen Kigon Shehirino Etzloi. The Loiva left the Chametz, which was put up as collateral by the Malva. The Kamifki, and the Gemara is suggesting that the Machloikis here is a different Machloikis altogether. Machloikis B'Drev Yitzchak. B'Drev Yitzchak. Namayin L'Bal Choyiv Shekoyin Mashkin. How do we know that the Bal Choyiv takes ownership of the Mashkin? The Torah says that if somebody leaves, if a Loiva leaves a mashkin by a malva, and it's something that the malva needs to live with. It's something that he uses by day. So every day the malva, the Torah says, should give that mashkin to the loiva so he should be able to use it because he needs it so desperately. If it's something that the malva uses at night, it's his linen, it's his pillow, his blanket, every night he should give it to him. And the Torah, when it speaks about that halacha, uses the words, Hashiv tashv loyas avoid kavai shemesh, v'socha b'sim losoi, barachacha, give him what he needs, l'chati etzdaka. So the definition of tzedaka is that I'm taking something that is mine and I'm giving to someone else. Im ain a kind of mashkin. But if we're going to suggest that the malva does not take ownership of the mashkin, tzedaka minayin, why is it considered tzedaka? Mikan is a raya that Baal Chayiv kind of mashkin, that the Baal Chayiv takes ownership of the mashkin. But, explains the Gemara, using this concept in the Braisa, Tanaka Masova, Hanimili, when is it considered that if I leave Mashkin by a Malva, it's considered the Malva's? That's Yisrael and Yisrael. Well, one Yisrael left the Mashkin by another Yisrael. That's when Huda Karina by Luchati Yitzdaka, and it becomes his. Aval, Yisrael Menachri, when Yisrael takes from Menachri, it doesn't become his. He doesn't become his. And since it doesn't become his, it therefore remains the Nachri's, and therefore the Tanakhama holds there's no problem with Chomet Shavuot over Pesach. Rameya Sover, Rameya holds just the opposite. Kav Chomer says, Yisrael, Yisrael, if a Jew taking a mashke from Yisrael teaches us Rabbi Yitzchak is enough to make that it should be considered his, Yisrael Menachri, certainly when a Yisrael obtains a mashke from a Nachri, lo koshkein, that it becomes his. Aval, if a Yisrael, if a Nachri lent money to a Yisrael and took a mashkin from Yisrael, it certainly doesn't become the Nachri's. And therefore, Acha Pesach, Devrakol Oiver. Everybody will say that mashkin, that chometz, even though it was mortgaged to the Akum, but since by an Akum having mashkin mortgaged to him, even if it's by him, the halach is it's not considered like his, Hosam, Vade Nachum Yisrael Leikani, and therefore it's still considered belonging to the Jew. There's a discussion amongst the Rishonim if there's a nafgamina in all these mashkins. There are two types of mashkin. There's a mashkin that happens at the time of the loan, where something is put up for collateral, and there's a mashkin that's put up that if the time to pay comes, and the loiv is unable to pay, and he gives a mashkin. And in areas of halacha, there's a difference between the two types of mashkin. Our Gemara doesn't seem to make any such distinction. So our Gemara says that the Baal Chayiv, who has the mashkin, Rabbi Yitzchak taught us, becomes the owner of the mashkin. The question is, to what degree of ownership does he have? Rashi says it's considered in his rishus. Even if there's an oinus that happened to it, he would be held responsible. Tosfos disagrees, and Tosfos says that he's only considered a shayma socher, and he would be chayiv for gneiv of aveda on the mashkin, but he would not be chayiv for oinsim. The shach brings a riot from our Gemara to Rashi's opinion, because the Gemara says that according to Yitzchak Chati Yitzdaka, if it wouldn't be so much yours that you have so much ownership in it, it would be hard for the Gemara to call it L'chot Tiyat Staka. I saw a beautiful pshat in L'chot Tiyat Staka. Somebody may think somewhat of a different approach to this question than our Gemara took. Some may think that if I lent money to someone else and I obtained a mashkin for the money that I lent, so that should take away from the mitzvah that I did of lending money. Tells us the Torah that you lent money to someone else and he gave you a mashkin. So therefore, maybe it should not be considered a ma'aseh tzedakah. It should not be considered a ma'aseh chesed that you did here. Tells us the Torah, l'chati tzedakah. It doesn't take, you wanted to be a careful business person, and that's why you took a mashkin, that's why you took away collateral, but still don't think it took away from the mitzvah. On the contrary, l'chati tzedakah, it's considered a ma'aseh mitzvah. So we just learned that when a Nachri takes a mashkin from Yisrael, then it's not considered the Nachris, for sure. Ask the Gemara tonight. We go back to our Mishnah. We learned in our Mishnah, Nachris Shevel Yisrael Chemtzoy, Acha Pesach Mutar Hanor. That the Nachri got a mashkin from Yisrael and held on, the Chametz was put up as a mashkin for this loan, that the Nachri lent money to Yisrael. There's no problem with Chametz Shevel Yisrael Pesach on that mashkin. But if at the end, the Nachri will keep the mashkin. But why? Now we're saying that a Nachri doesn't take ownership. Ask the Gemara, Nen Nami. And even though we explained that our Mishnah is referring to a situation, the Hirinu Etzloi, that the Yisrael left the Mashkin by the Nachri, but we just finished learning, ask the Gemara, Ha'amrit, we just finished learning the Nachri Mi Yisrael, that even if Yisrael leaves the Mashkin by the Nachri, Loikani, it doesn't become the Akums. So why is there no problem if the Akum was holding on to that Chametz with Chametz Shavuot of a Pesach? Answers the Gemara, there's another factor to take into consideration. Our Mishnah is referring to a situation when the Yisrael, the Loiva, put the Chametz by the Nachri, the Malva. He told him that if I don't end up paying the debt when I'm supposed to pay it, the Chametz that I'm putting up as collateral should be yours from today. And therefore, if at the end he didn't pay off the debt, it became the Nachri's, and he left the Mashkin, the Chametz, by the Nachri. So by him having said, Be'achshiv, it's considered there was the Nachri's already from before Pesach, and therefore there's no problem with Chametz Shalom Pesach. The Braisa is referring to a situation, Loy Amaloy Achshiv. So even though he gave him a Mashkin, and the Mashkin is in the home of the Nachri, since he did not say, Me'achshiv, that doesn't make it the Nachri's. Ask the Gemara, where is the halachic precedent that differentiates if you say ma'achshav, ve'heichad the omma ma'achshav, ve'heichad the loy omma ma'achshav? Says the Mordechai Tanya. The Braisa teaches us, Nachri shehirin pas porni. If a Nachri before Pesach left a bread, it's a Yisrael, ain't over. The Yisrael isn't over chametz shel Pesach. However, if the Nachri, when he gave the Yisrael the Mashkin, said, Higaticha, it should become yours, over, then is considered Chametz Shavuot of a Pesach. So the question is, my Reisha, Mashna Sefer. Why in the Reisha is there no problem with Chametz Shavuot of a Pesach when he left the Mashkin by him? And why in the Sefer is there? Ela Lav, Shmaimna, Shani Echadam Alim Achshav. If the Nachri had told the Yisrael me Achshav, so becomes the Yisrael's immediately. When he didn't tell him Me'achshav, it doesn't become his immediately Shmamina. Tan Rabon, Chanusha Yisrael, if you have a store owned by a Jew, or Malai, and the bread and the wine that are sold there, Shay Yisrael, or Payalim Nachim Nichnasim Lasham, but you have non-Jewish workers that help, that are the workers in the store, Chametz Shenimtza Sham Achar Pesach, Chametz that's found in that store after Pesach, Osbanop, it's also by Nov Ainsar Khlam Bachila. It has to be considered Chomet Shalov. It has to be considered Chomet Shal Yisrael Shavalov Pesach. However, says the Gemara, Chanus Shal Yisrael, Umalai Shal Nachri, you have a Chanus that belongs to Akum, and the merchandise belongs to the Akum. However, by Yisrael Nachnas of Yatzim Lasham, the Jewish work is there, Chomet Shalim Tisham Acha Pesach, any Chomet that's found there after Pesach, Mutav Chalil Ben Tzarech Lem Ba'ano, it's not considered Chomet Shal Yisrael, Shavu Lava Pesach. So the Girsa that we just learned is the Girsa, the Rashi, the very Maskel of Maloi, the very Maskel of Osir, has that Al Gemara. And the way to understand it, explains Rabbeinu David, is that you have a store that is owned by a Jew, and the merchandise in the store are owned by Jews, and Nachrim enter that store. We have to assume that the Chametz that's in the store belongs to Yisrael. Because even though we're referring to a Jew who did beat the B'dikas Chametz, still, since we find the Chametz, it's not that we know that the Chametz was there, it was just found. We have to be concerned that this Chametz was there already from before Pesach, and for whatever reason, he didn't see it by B'dikas Chametz. And therefore, it's considered Chametz Yisrael of a Lava Pesach. And we can't say, well, it must have been the Chametz that fell out of the packets or was brought in by the Nachrim who worked there. Whereas, continues the Reina David explaining the Gemara according to the Girs of Rashi, if the store was owned by a Nachri, and the merchandise is a Nachri, even though the workers are Yisraelim, we're more likely to assume that this is chametz that belonged to the guy. There was no bedikas chametz in the store. It's a store that's owned by the Nachri. And there's no reason to assume that Yisraelim brought chametz there. The Yisraelim, it must be the chametz of a, it must be the chametz of the Akum, and therefore there's no problem chametz over Pesach. The Meram Chalava takes a different approach. It goes back to a concept that we've discussed previously. He uses the concept of kol kavua kamechza amechza dami in approaching this question. But Rabbeinu Chananel has just the opposite gears in our Gemara. He says, if you have a store that's owned by Akum, and the merchandise is Akum, but you have Jewish workers that work there, the chametz after Pesach is chametz shavel of a Pesach. Where, because we assume that the chametz that's found in the store is brought there by the workers who work there. So if I have chametz in this store, it must be chametz that was brought there by the workers who are Jewish. And therefore we have a problem with chametz shavel of Pesach. Whereas if the workers are Akum, it's just the opposite. We assume that it was the Akum that brought, the workers who are not Jewish brought the chametz there. And therefore, we could assume that it's the chametz of an Akum. Says the Mishnah, chametz nafel of Ampoilus. If there's a rubble that fell on top of chametz, harei kemavor, the chametz, according to the halacha, can be viewed as if it's non-existent, and you don't have to do any bedikas chametz. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, what does that mean? Kol she'ein akelach yochel chapus achrov. And the way I saw that many the Rambam and Tosfos Yom Tov, it's not that Rav Shimon Gamliel is disagreeing with the Tanna Kamma. He is explaining the Tanna Kamma. The Tanna Kamma says that if rubble fell on top of chametz, it's considered like it's mavur, like it's non-existent. When is that the halacha? When it's kol she'ein akelach yochel chapus achrov, it's buried that deeply. Amar Rav Chisda, what says Rav Chisda, even though we're learning in our Mishnah, when you have such a situation, you don't need to do bedikas chametz, tzarech shivata beliboy. You still have to do bittel. Because the way Rashi explains, we're concerned that maybe that mapoilus will be cleared on Pesach, and now the chametz will become available to you. So to avoid that problem, that's why you should do bittel before yontif. Another way of approaching it goes back to the beginning of the Masechta. Chazal said that in every situation, we have to do bittel chametz and bedikas chametz. Even though, as we explained, midaraisa, bittel chametz alone is sufficient. Now the Mishnah is teaching us, when is that the halacha? When it's accessible. But in a situation when it's not accessible, there you have to do both. Then only bittel is required, you don't have to do beer. There's a question: when you do bittel, is it enough just to think a bittel, or do you have to actually verbalize the bittel? The Meiri says that you don't have to verbalize it. Rachmana libibai. If the din midaraisa is that bittel is enough, the bittel is enough, believe. Other Rishonim disagree, and they say that even though, and we discussed this in the first parak, you don't have to make it hefker in front of three people, which is normally the halacha when hefker is being done, but you do have to articulate the bittel. Tana kama chafisas akelef. So we saw, if it's so deep under the rubble that's chafisas akelef, it's shloisha tfachim. Because once it's so deep, under three tfachim, the door can't smell it. And based on this, I saw a tshuva in the Igros Moshe, and I saw a tshuva in the Michas Yitzchak. They both teach us, from here we know the halacha is that when one buries someone, they have to bury them at least to the depth of three tefachim. The Igros Moshe is in Yerodeya, Chelek Aleph, Simen Reish Lamed Gimel, and the Michas Yitzchak is in Chelek Zayin, Simen Kuf Dalet. They both explained that the reason we have to bury a mace, one of the reasons that we have to properly bury a mace, is that chas v'sholem, a kelef should not be able to exhume the body. So it has to be deep enough that the caliph doesn't smell what's buried there. And our Gemara said that when is it that deep? When it's 3 tefachim deep. Amalei Rav Achabrei, the Rav Yosef, the Rav Ashi. Hoda Meshmul, Sofim Einlam Shmir Elab Karka. That if to bury Kesef properly, it has to be 3 tefachim buried. Me being a shlish tefachim alai. Is the halacha that to be considered buried, it has to be a depth of 3 tefachim. Amalei, Hacha, in our Mishnah, it's as we just explained, Mishimrecha. We're concerned how deep does the dog smell. And that's why being in shlosh tefachim. Hasam, but by money, mishimichsui meinahu. All we're trying to do is make it not visible. V'leibay shlosha. And we don't have to have 3 tefachim. Ask the Gemara, so if I'm burying money, how deep must I bury it that should be considered properly buried? Amar v'kama, amar rafim ba'papa mesichra tefach. As long as you bury it a tefach, it's enough. So I saw beautiful pshat. Our Gemara says that kesef, that when it comes to bury, ein lem shmira ela b'karka. So I saw that one pshat that I saw from the Tepukei Chaim, the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu was shown how the matbeya, the shekel, that Moshe Rabbeinu was shown was matbeya shalesh, says the Medrash, hoitzi mitachas kisei akavid. What's the lesson that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a matbeya mitachas kisei akavid? So the Tepukei Chaim says there are people, unfortunately, who allow money to run their lives. But what the Medrash is teaching us is that money should be mitachas kisei akavid. Money should be below us. Not that the money should run us, that the money should be what influences our life, but on the contrary, we should be on top of the money. I saw another pshat. Ksafim elam shmir ela b'karka. Whom does HaKadosh Baruch Hu give money to? Ela b'karka. Somebody who knows to look at money like it's karka, like it's earth, that doesn't show that much respect to money, that's the person who will have ksafim, who will be worthy to have wealth.